Hi, everybody. This is Sharon Odom from Cosmetic Surgery Today, and welcome to another episode of our continuing series, Inside Cosmetic Surgery. Our special guest today is Dr. Bruce Chisholm, also known as the facelift specialist, who is quadruple board certified, and he has offices in Rancho Mirage, California. Hi, Dr. Chisholm. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I just couldn't help but say quadruple board certified because I've never seen so many boards on one doctor's website. So anyway, thanks for joining us to discuss facial implants, and that is of the jaw, cheek, and chin, correct?
That's right.
Okay. All right. So first of all, what are facial implants made of?
The facial implants that I use 100% are made of silicone, solid silicone material, also called silastic. Mm-hmm. And it's a molded silicone made by several different manufacturers into the shape size for support in the region you're trying to treat, whether it's the chin or the midface or any other area.
Oh, okay. So they're all made of silicone. There are no other options.
There are other options. There's a Gore-Tex, which is also used, probably the second most common material. And then there's some of the older materials like MedPor and such, and there's also polymeth methacrylate. You can actually custom make an implant, but for the most part, it's solid silicone.
Okay. So what keeps them in place? How are they secured to the face?
You have two options. There's actually three options. You can make an exact pocket, whether it's in the chin or the midface, and you don't have to fixate in all circumstances, particularly with the newer implants with a broader base. If it's a smaller implant, then you'll want to secure the implant either with several resorbable sutures or with small micro screws into the malar buttress region.
Okay. So, and that's in all areas, the chin, the cheek, the jaw?
That's correct. Yeah, the cheek would be the malar buttress region. The chin would be, you could use a small screw. Generally, the chin implant does not require a screw. Occasionally, the midface implants do. And the angle implants almost always.
Okay. Now, I was trying to visualize before I got on the call, the cheek and the jaw, what is the difference? Where do they separate?
Well, the cheek, we're generally talking about the upper part of mid part of the face, the upper jaw, and the most common area to augment in a cheek is actually what we call the mid-face region, the area right below the eyeball itself. And that is the area that's lost almost on everybody as they get older. The actual cheek area, the malar region, which is just outside there, to the outside of the eye socket, outside the lateral canthus, that area doesn't lose as much volume, and if you put an implant such as a cheek implant in that area, you tend to change in appearance versus restoring an appearance if you place an implant toward the nasal region and the midface region. So most of the time we're doing midface implants. The jawline itself would either be the chin, which would be the actual chin area made through a small incision right under the chin, put in through a small incision under the chin. And the angle area is back by the angle of the jaw, just below the ear, just below and in front of the ear. And that's to augment the lateral projection, sometimes the length of the jaw itself.
Okay. Now, are the implants permanent or are touch-ups or maintenance required?
The implants are permanent. They're there forever. They will last forever and ever.
That's good to hear.
That's
because
good
so many
to hear.
Procedures need to be redone or touched up, and so
it's
nice to hear that something is really permanent.
It's the most significant benefit of the implants is that as we age, we all lose volume and projection and support, and these replace it permanently.
Now, let me ask you a question. I've seen on women, especially the area right around the eye with a sort of like a little hollow area. Is this something that addresses that, or is that some other procedure?
Well, this is a procedure that addresses that hollow region. It does not correct it completely, but it improves it dramatically and is the single most effective thing in the long term, that's particularly in permanent treatments. In that particular area, as people get older, even if you've augmented the area with an implant, you often find yourself having to do a little bit of injectable filler, such as the hyaluronic acid, Juvederm, such things like that, to augment it maybe once a year to keep the area looking really good. But the implant itself will take care of most of the problem, but generally not all of it.
Okay, so that sort of answers my next question, which is what are the benefits of facial implants over other methods like injectable fillers?
Well, the implants are permanent. That's the big thing. You can do just about everything with fillers that you can do with implants, but it's going to resorb and go away. And people do that, but after several times or several years, they get a little bit tired of it, And as we get older, we lose more and more volume, more and more support, so you're having to do more and more filler. It's nice to have something permanent done that provides a very natural cosmetic aesthetic restoration of volume and support in the cheek area, the chin area, the angle area. And then even if you need a little bit filler, as time goes on, it'll be a lot less. And in between filler, you'll maintain most of the projection support that would not have been there if you're just doing fillers. So they're an excellent way to reestablish a baseline and sometimes correct it completely. And then if you need a little bit later on with fillers, you can augment it with that.
So it sounds like you use them in combination?
Yes, in combination. To be honest, most of the time, most people are happy with just the implants. But with the one exception being around the eyes, the medial tear trough region is very difficult to augment with implants correctly because the skin is so thin. So that area is one area we do touch up maybe once a year with a little bit of filler.
Okay. Now, I've heard that facial implants are sort of unsung hero in facelifts. Can you talk a little bit about that?
They are. The facelift procedures changed so much. We, years ago, maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, we thought of it as a tightening, pulling procedure, and it just is not that anymore. It's considered more of restoration of tension, restoration of volume, restoration of support. And so much volume and support is lost that cannot be replaced with a facial surgical procedure that's pulling and repositioning the native tissues, that the implants have come along and provided that 50% that was missing. And that's the support and volume that is just naturally lost in the chin, mostly in the midface. That's the number one area. Second would be the chin, and third would be the angle area of the jaw.
Okay. Now, as far as chin implants, how do people usually use those? I mean, what type of person would want a chin implant?
Well, there's two different types of reasons we use chin implants. One is for the person who's born with a small chin or microgenia. And an excellent way to give them a balanced facial appearance is just to put a small anatomic chin implant. Excellent way to do it because it's permanent, it's simple, it's easy, it doesn't require cutting the bone or anything like that. And then the second is the aging chin. And the aging chin in some individuals, actually a significant number of individuals, like the rest of the face, loses support, loses projection, loses volume. And a very small anatomic chin implant placed in there can restore their natural appearance without giving them the appearance of a bigger chin. Those are the two most common reasons. Sometimes that's in combination. Some people are older, have a small chin, and lose volume. But for the most part, it's someone who's born with a small chin or just the natural aging chin process we restore with a chin implant.
Can you feel the implants?
Can you feel the implant? No, the implant is... The mid-face implant, the chin implant, and the angle implant, we can feel them as surgeons, we can feel the edges of them and such, but the patient can't feel them as long as you keep them under the more supportive muscular regions.
So that means if someone has an implant and they try to touch it, rub it, they can't feel it with their hands?
Most people can't feel it, no. A cheek implant's a bit different, what we call the malar or cheek implant. That is not very well covered. I personally don't do a lot of cheek implants. You can feel those because they tend to be, the coverage is very thin. But the mid-face implants, the medial cheek implants, chin and angles, you generally cannot feel them. The patients aren't aware or unable to feel them.
So they can't even feel them inside of their face. So not with their hands, but they just aren't aware of them, like
they
a hair aware. And eye or anything like that.
They're not aware.
Okay, good. What sort of board certifications should patients look for in a facial implant surgeon? I imagine that a surgeon should be specialized in this kind of surgery.
They should. Board certification is very important, and that's something you should ask your surgeon each time. And then look for hospital privileges and experience, and then results. And all of them are very, very important. I wouldn't skip any one. And, the thing about facial implants is it's a bit of a niche area, and a fair number of people don't do it, and a fair number of people do it. So when you're thinking about facial implants, you do want to check the person's training, the board certification, hospital affiliations, and then really find out if this is a procedure they're doing a lot.
Right. So who would be a good candidate for facial implants?
Anybody who congenitally has a congenital atrophy or missing volume, such as a small chin or cheeks or such. But in today's practice, what we mostly see is the person getting into their 40s, 50s, 60s and above who are just naturally losing the volume and support in their midface. The midface is number one. and then some in their chin, and then some people lose not quite as much, but in some groups of individuals more so in the jaw area. So what we really see is a lot of people, the vast majority of people as they age normally, could benefit from a mid-face implant. And then a smaller percentage would benefit from the chin implant just from the natural aging process to restore a real balance and support. It's real natural looking.
Right. Is it considered reconstructive surgery?
In those circumstances, no. It would be it'd be considered cosmetic, but we do it for reconstructive surgery. People have had cancer, tumor removals, gunshot, trauma, and or there are people who have had cancer who have end up with paralyzed on one side or the other or for any other reason. They tend to get atrophied in the area, and the implants can provide a very nice balance back to the face.
So do you get many people seeking reconstructive surgery, or most of them cosmetic?
Most cosmetic, but we have a fair amount seeking reconstructive.
Okay. And what are the potential risks and side effects?
The implants are really a tried-and-true procedure at this time. Infection is almost unheard of. It's as close to zero as you can get. For the most people, it's a little bit of altered sensation that resolves over a few weeks. Then there is the occasional person that might feel that they want more or less. That's a very small amount. And then you'd have to look for movement of the implant, which, again, with the new anatomical implants, is very rare. So the problems with the implants are very, very, very minimal.
Okay. Now, what about anesthesia? How are they under local, general?
You can place these implants. They're very simple to place once you gain the experience, and you can place them with local anesthetic, a little bit of light sedation, or general. I most of the time use a very light sedation with a little bit of augmentation of local anesthetic.
Okay, so they're not totally out.
That's
but
right.
They won't be like tense up.
That's right, exactly.
Right.
Some people do it. There's we have a fair number of particularly busy professionals that don't have a lot of time, and they'll do them on a Friday, do it under local anesthetic. It's a very brief, quick procedure, and they can go home and resume most of their normal activities the next day.
And does their face look different? Does it look bruised? What's the downtime?
Yeah. The downtime physically, if it's just an implant you're doing, is limited to a day or two. The visual downtime is different. There's swelling. There's going to be a bit of swelling, more swelling than bruising, but definitely swelling. And they may experience a small amount of bruising that's going to take a week or so to go away. So it's more of a visual downtime than it is a physical downtime.
Okay,
and that
so
is a very individual, subjective thing. Some people don't mind other people knowing, and some people don't want anybody to know. So it kind of depends on the patient.
Maybe they'll take, like, a vacation, right?
That's right. Exactly. That'll work.
Right. Can you share a patient success story with us? You know, no names, of course, but just an idea.
Oh, sure. You know, the cosmetic or reconstructive?
Both.
Both? Okay. One of the things I really enjoy with implants that we didn't have in the past before we were using as much as we were to do that today, or when we were using fillers that disappeared, was the person who has a very imbalanced face, maybe a large nose with a bump, a deficient mid-face, and a small chin. And they're pretty, they're confident, they like the way they look, but there's just a significant balance that's missing. And when you combine a mid-face implant, very, very aesthetic, very small, very natural, with a small chin implant, and then just a very, very conservative reduction of the nose, it's just amazing the balance that returns to the face from a very, very simple procedure. That, from a cosmetic standpoint, that's one of the most rewarding. From a reconstructive standpoint, the reconstruction of the jaw is a much more complicated issue. So more what I'm going to talk more about is maybe the mid-face, particularly if people have had previous cancer surgery with tissue removal, or people who are paralyzed on one side of their face, whether it's a neurological problem or cancer surgery. There's a very significant imbalance that occurs. It's difficult to return them to normal through normal function, but what you can do is give them an initial appearance of balance that nothing else will do that for them. And the mid-face implants have been very successful in restoring people who've had a stroke, weakness in the neuromuscular complex from whatever reason, and giving them, you know, just more, they're happy with their appearance, and it just puts a little bit of joy in their life.
Right. You know, it's interesting what you said about balance, because I remember reading somewhere that beautiful people, if you study their face,
right,
that is the number one thing, that they're symmetrical.
It is. You know, I've been doing facelifts now for over 20 years, and the first part of my facelift experience was technical and getting results, and the second half was the other stuff, which is balance and support and volume restoration, and it is the key to a really long-lasting, balanced, pretty facelift, and that's where implants come in.
Great. Well, would you like to tell our listeners about your practice in sunny Southern California?
Okay. Well,
it must really be hard living out there.
It's particularly this time of year. It turns very, very nice.
Yes.
Well, my practice is vast majority of it's cosmetic, mostly facelifts. It's what I enjoy the most. And one of the fun things about facelifts today are the implants and what I use on just about every patient. And I know a lot of people think implants change the look, not as aesthetic looking. It's actually the opposite. It gives them a very balanced, very natural look as long as all you replace is what they've lost. And there's, in, you know, the American Academy of Cosmetic Surgery meetings, there's been a real push to talk about the natural restoration of balance and support, and I could not agree more with that.
And you specialize in above-the-neck surgeries, correct?
I specialize. Yeah, most of my practice is faceless.
Above the neck. Great, excellent. Well, what is your website?
My website is bchisholmmd.com.
Okay, excellent. And I'll put that on the website, too. And is there anything else we need to know about you?
I think that'll do it.
Great. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for your time.
Okay.